Let us turn today in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. I want to speak to us today from Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. I want us to especially consider the words in verse 1. No man layeth it to heart. No man lays it to heart. But before we look at the four lessons that I have for us from those words, I want us to go through the two verses and get the context of this statement. First, the righteous perisheth. Who are the righteous and how do they perish? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, in showing how that the whole world, both Jew and Gentile, is guilty before God, he declared, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's no one born of woman who is righteous by birth. There's no one who comes into this world who is righteous. You, we did not come into this world righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. And no man makes himself to be righteous. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified or declared righteous in his sight. But our text says the righteous perisheth. And yet the scriptures tell us that when we come into this world that none of us are righteous. But we know from the Word of God that there are those who are made, are declared to be righteous through the imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way any person is made righteous. No person is made righteous by joining a church, by turning over a new leaf, by being baptized, or any of these things, being sprinkled as a baby, going through a catechism class and learning all the right answers, being able to recite the creed or whatever. No one is made righteous in any other way than by having the righteousness of Christ. That is his perfect obedience when he was here in the flesh, his obedience to the law of God perfectly in thought, in word, and in deed. And then suffering at the hands of God's offended justice, his righteousness is imputed unto those who believe. That's the only one anyone is ever made righteous. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, he just summed it all up in this one verse, didn't he? When he said this, for he, that is God, he hath made him, that is Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who Christ knew no sin. There was no sin in him. He did no sin. Made him to be sin for us, that in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, the apostle said this, for as by one man's disobedience, And that one man was Adam. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, that one, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Let me read you one verse of Scripture from Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. The Scripture says, "For what saith the Scripture?" The Apostle Paul asks this question. What does the Old Testament say? He has reference to the Old Testament when he asks the question, "For what saith the Scripture?" because the New Testament had not been written when he asked this question. For what saith the Scripture? What saith the Old Testament? What saith the New Testament? What saith all the Word of God? There's only one gospel, there's only one Savior, and there's only one way that men are made righteous before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted, or imputed, or charged, it was counted unto him for righteousness. So in our text this morning, we see the righteous perisheth. Who are the righteous? The righteous are those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those who are complete in him, accepted in the Beloved. The Lord God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he's well pleased with everyone who is in him. How then do the righteous perish? Our text says the righteous perisheth. How then do the righteous perish? Well, the righteous do not perish eternally because, as I have just said, they are accepted in the Beloved and they are given eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Well, then, how do the righteous perish? The word perish in our text is speaking of their physical death. Yes, the righteous do perish in this sense. They die physically. These, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning the Old Testament saints in all sense, these all died in faith. Now notice the second part of the text. Merciful men are taken away. Well, let's ask the same questions. Who are the merciful? And how are they taken away? Merciful men. Now listen. Hear me now. Merciful men are men who obtain mercy. Merciful men are men and women, of course, who obtain mercy. Our Lord said this in the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." The merciful are those who obtain mercy. You see, when you obtain something, you don't earn it, according to the Scriptures. And you don't deserve it. You obtain it. The merciful are those who obtain mercy. God told Moses this, and this is part of God's glory. This is part of God declaring who he is. He's not this wannabe God that's being preached all over our country today. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a God who wants to be God, a God who wants to do things, but men will not allow him. In other words, man has reversed the order, and now man is on the throne, and God is in the dust. Man is sovereign, and man is dependent. Or God, rather, is dependent upon man. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing is so discrediting to God, the God of the Bible, than to say that he is a God who kind of has his wringing his hands, you know, wondering what's going to happen, who's going to let Jesus come into his heart, who's going to accept Christ, how is this all going to... No. God told Moses when he asked to see his glory, he said this, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. If he passed every one of us here in this room today by, I mean he just left us in our sins, we would receive exactly what we deserve. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Now, that's what God said. Say, I don't like that. Well, don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. He's the one who spoke the words. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I want you to turn with me in the New Testament. Keep your places here. But to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Reading verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God puts men into the ministry. Preachers do not put men into the ministry, and schools, seminaries do not put men into the ministry. God puts men into the ministry. And everyone he puts into the ministry, we thank God. What a privilege it is to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. And he makes us faithful. When it says he counted me faithful, it is required of a steward, the Apostle Paul said, that he be faithful. And God makes us faithful. I thank God. Oh, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. And any gift we have to preach the gospel, he gives it to us. Any power, any ability. For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now notice, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious or insolent, but I obtained mercy. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, when you read that, don't read into that. Paul's making an excuse for himself because he's not by any means. In fact, if you notice in verse 15, he goes on to confess that he was the chief of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When Paul says here, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, he is showing that he was an object of mercy. He names these things about himself. He was a blasphemer. He blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ our Lord and did all he could to cause others to blaspheme that holy name. He was a persecutor. He did what he could to do harm. And when Stephen was martyred, he held the coats of those who threw the stones. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. Did everything I could to injure the cause of Christ. I was ignorant. I was ignorant. You remember later he writes concerning his countrymen that he had such a burden for, his kinsmen according to the flesh. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Do you see anything in the Apostle Paul that would merit mercy? You see what he's saying here, my friends? I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was insolent or injurious to the cause of Christ. I was ignorant of the way of God, and I was full of unbelief. I didn't believe God. I obtained mercy. And notice verse 14. When God is merciful to a sinner, and remember, God's mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, hell. And God's grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, Christ. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant, now notice, with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. When a person obtains mercy and grace, these two twins, when a person obtains mercy and grace, then surely he or she will have faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And just as well as faith, love. We love. We love God. We love Christ. We love God's people. We love God's Word. That's one of the first marks, isn't it, of a person who is born of the Spirit of God. We love God's Word. As a pastor said the other day, this is God speaking to us. When we read it, this is God speaking to us. We love His Word. Merciful men are taken away. Okay, the merciful are the righteous, those who obtain mercy. But the Scripture says, merciful men are taken away. How then are merciful men taken away? Well, let me show you that I have a Strong's Concordance. I looked up this word that is translated taken away. It's a Hebrew word. It comes from a Hebrew root word, which means together, together. And I love that word, gather, when it speaks of the death of a child of God. When it came time for Aaron, the first high priest, to die, listen to these words that God told Moses. He told them to go up on that mountain, and he said, Moses, strip Aaron of his garments. He had on those beautiful priestly robes, gold plate, beautiful stones, precious stones. Moses, take that off of him and put it on his son, Eleazar. He became the high priest. And Aaron shall be gathered to his people. And then sometime later it came time for Moses to die. And God told Moses the same thing. He let him go up on that mountain, and the Scripture said, when thou hast seen it up on that mountain, when you look over and see all the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, the land of promise, when thou hast seen it, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother. Merciful men are taken away. That is, merciful men are gathered to their people. I like to be with my people, don't you? And this is my people right here. I love to be with my people. And all of our people who are already in heaven, when a believer dies, we are gathered to our people. To our Lord, yes, but also we're gathered to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Now notice the third thing in the text. We are told that they enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. They shall enter into peace. Christ made peace for them, for you, for me. We were enmity with God, but Christ made peace for us, the scripture says, by the blood of his cross, by his death. And believers, the merciful, the righteous, they enter into peace, into an eternal state of peace. Let me read you what one old writer said. There, that is where they go, there is the God of peace. There is Christ, the Prince of Peace. There is the Spirit whose fruit is peace. And there are the angels of peace. And there is nothing to disturb their peace. They enter into peace. No sin within. They've left this body of flesh, that old man, that old nature, and they've entered into peace. They'll never be troubled. Are you ever troubled by sin? I am, all the time. They'll never be troubled by Satan's darts, his fiery darts, his temptations ever again. They enter into peace. Peace, peace. And number two, it says they shall rest in their beds. Now this, of course, is speaking of their bodies. Their bodies rest in their graves, waiting for that shout, for that trump of God, when Christ shall descend and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. They rest in their graves. And third, the scripture here says they're walking in his uprightness. Their souls are not sleeping, but they are dressed in their shining robes of immortality, walking or serving. They're not just idle in heaven, my friends. They are walking, serving, worshiping, praising God Almighty. They're all singing the same hymn, "Worthy is the Lamb." Now, here are four truths that we should lay to heart. It's clear to me when I read this scripture, the righteous perisheth and no man layeth it to heart, that God mentions this as a fault, as a fault. A righteous man perishes and we do not lay it to heart. We see in verse 1 what especially we are to lay to heart. The scripture says, he is taken away from the evil to come. And yes, my friends, we sorrow and our hearts are filled with sadness when one of our loved ones is taken from us. But my friends, if they are believers, if they're children of God, they are taken away from the evil to come. And evil is continually coming. As long as we are in this world, evil comes. Evil comes. Evil comes. It's just like the waves down at the ocean. They just keep coming, keep coming. And as long as we are in this world, which is cursed because of sin, evil will come. I'm not talking about moral evil. That comes too. But I'm talking about calamities infirmities, and all of these things that disturb us. He's taken away from the evil to come. Now, I say this, God charges this as a fault. No man layeth it to heart. We are to lay this to heart. We're to lay to heart that they are taken away from the evil to come, and we are to comfort ourselves with these words. But let me give you four other things, and I'll be brief. Number one, now listen to me, every person here, give me your attention, please. We should lay to heart that we too have an appointment with death. Now we should lay that to heart. We too, everyone in this room, we have an appointment with death. The scripture says it is appointed unto men once to die. And that's one appointment you're going to keep. That's one appointment I'm going to keep. Now we should lay that to heart. Death came into God's world by sin. And we all died spiritually in Adam, and we will all die physically. We should lay to heart that death comes, and it comes to many unexpectedly. Did you hear what I said? Lay this to heart. Death is coming. And number two, death comes unexpectedly to many people. The scripture said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Brother Rolf Barnard, I can remember him talking along this line and saying, before you have time to pack a toothbrush, death comes. Death comes. It comes unexpectedly to many. Not everyone, but to many. Are you prepared to die? Are you? You're going to. You've got an appointment. Are you prepared to die? When is a person prepared to die? I like to use that example of that older gentleman in Jerusalem by the name of Simeon, when the Lord Jesus Christ was just a baby, 6 weeks old. And God had told him that before he died, he would see the Lord's Christ. And when Mary and Joseph came to the temple that day, he picked him up in his arms. And where did he said, now lettest thou thy servant depart, for I have seen thy salvation. Where did he see God's salvation? In Christ. In salvation's not in a plan, it's not in a form, it's not in a creed. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. When is a person ready to die? When he sees God's salvation in Jesus Christ and leans all the weight of his soul's salvation upon Christ. As John Bunyan once said, upon another's life I did not live, and upon another's death I did not die. I stake my whole eternity. So that's the first lesson. We should lay to heart that we all have an appointment with death. Are you ready? You say, well, I'm just a very young person. Well, trust me. You go out to the cemetery and you'll see grave markers, my friends, for children, for older people, middle-aged people, young adults. People die of all ages. You say, well, you're trying to scare us. It wouldn't do a bit of good. It would not do a bit of good. I've seen people get scared before when someone close to them died, and it lasts about 2 or 3 weeks. No, what I'm praying for is that God, the Holy Spirit, will stab your heart with the truth if you are here today without Christ. That's my prayer. I'm not trying to scare anyone. But I tell you this, It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The second lesson, we should lay to heart that there are temporary and there are eternal things. Paul said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We should lay that to heart. There are things which are seen, and they are temporal. And there are things which are not seen, and they are eternal. And I thought about the man in one of our Lord's parables who the Lord had blessed him so much. He had a bumper crop, and he said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger. And then he said, this is what I'm going to say to my soul. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this about that man, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall these things be? These things are temporal that we see. We should lay that to heart and lay up treasures in heaven, as our Lord said, where the moth and the thieves do not break through and steal. Number three, we should lay to heart that we should quickly resolve all disagreements. Now, what do you mean, preacher? Well, sad to say, but it's true. Sometimes disagreements are between brothers. They do happen. And they will as long as we are in this world. We're not going to see everything the same. We're not going to agree on every point. Peter asked the Lord one day, he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? And Peter thought, he thought if he forgave a brother seven times, he was really doing something. And the Lord said, Peter, what about 70 times? In other words, an indefinite number of times. As oft as a brother sins against you and asks for forgiveness, forgive him. Forgive him. We should lay to heart that we should quickly resolve all disagreements. It's a sad thing when we have a disagreement with someone and we mean to make it right. We mean to say what we need to say or do what we need to say, but we put it off, we procrastinate, and then that person is taken away. And then our conscience bothers us, as it should. There's forgiveness, that's for sure. But again, I say we should lay it to heart. Any little disagreement that we might have, we should quickly resolve that. We should be slow to take offense and quick, fast to forgive. And the last thing, we should lay to heart the value of a good name. A good name. And I especially speak to everyone here, but young people, listen to me. Children, teenagers, listen to me. Lay to heart the value of having a good name. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name, that's better than a great amount of money. Ecclesiastes 7 says a good name is better than precious ointment. That's precious ointment that is gives off such a beautiful aroma. Now, I know both of these verses are speaking especially of Christ. He's the one who has the good name. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. I realize that, but even so, we should endeavor to have a good name. Tell the truth. Keep your word. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be honest. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. And show your love to others. I pray that the Lord would bless these words to all of us here today. We're going to sing a hymn, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Hymn number 293.